all, and welcome to another edition of the Total Tuscany Podcast. I'm Travis Justice, joined by Pat Capagna. Hello, Pat.
Trav, how are you?
Good. You know, we weren't here last week. I was actually out traveling, out and about, and since you don't know how to run the equipment, we just went ahead and canceled last week's podcast.
We skipped.
But that's okay. It's good to be back with another podcast, but I do have to ask you, how's your 30-day challenge going?
Slow? It's going slow, but we're going to follow through.
You know, I've got a little down, so I'm trying to think. I was going to give a phrase, but now I've been going through my tapes the last couple of days, and now I can't think of what to say.
Stage fright here.
Yeah, I do have stage fright, which is very uncommon for me. But Pat and I are in our 30-day trying to learn Italian challenge. We got out of the starting blocks a little slow. I know Cher Hale is going to be a little disappointed with us.
We're not going to let her down.
We're not going to let her down. We may have to, you know, we're strong finishers. We're going to sprint to the finish. Hey, if you're just listening to the Total Tuscany Podcast for the first time, thanks for joining us. You can also subscribe to this podcast on iTunes and make sure to like us on our social media channels, on Facebook, on Twitter, and on Pinterest as well. And you can find us on Google+. And this week, Pat, we go back to Tuscany. And with somebody who knows Tuscany very, very well. She has lots of stories to tell. When you're born and raised there, she knows exactly the right places to point you if you're dreaming about that Tuscany holiday.
Yeah, she really knows, and she calls it the unconventional Tuscany, which I think is really something that we're interested in. I hope everybody else is.
We're talking about Valentina Danelli. She runs TooMuchTuscany.com. And yes, that's the name of the website, Too Much Tuscany. Pat and I both agree that there's no such thing. But what you're about to find out in this fascinating conversation, there is a lot more to Tuscany than just what you read in the magazines and the books. Valentina, I have to ask you something because your website is Too Much Tuscany. And Pat and I think, are in agreement that there's no such thing as Too Much Tuscany.
Yes, you're right. The name came from my previous nickname, that is Too Much Shopping, because I used to shop too much. And also because Tuscany is really too much. There is too much to see, and there is also too much written about the usual Tuscany. So I decided to go for Too Much Tuscany because I want to show you how much Tuscany it is and how much to see of the beaten paths.
You mentioned there's too much written about the stuff we always see, whether that's in the books or the magazines. How much of Tuscany has not been written about, has not been seen? You look at this small little province, but is there so much that's still untouched by the average tourist or people like Pat and myself who've gone a couple times but have really only seen the main attractions?
So I would say 80%.
Is unseen?
Yes, correct. You have still, in my opinion, I love Tuscany. I travel a lot around Tuscany and I lived almost all my life here. And still, I have so many places on my wish list that I've never seen. And so I think that almost 80% of Tuscany is unseen.
That's interesting because I would have thought you would have said that it's just overflowing with tourists and every place has been touched a little bit, but no, there's some hidden places that we could still investigate.
Yes, correct. I think there are lots of places that need to be investigated.
Why is there so much that's unseen? Is it just because people kind of get stuck on Florence, or they've seen Under the Tuscan Sun and they go to Cortona and they do the usual places? And there, it seems like, especially Americans, because we seem to be going 100 miles an hour. And I think most people use Tuscany as almost drive-through country. They can drive through and say, yeah, we went to Tuscany, but we want to get to Venice. We want to get to Rome. We want to get to Florence. And they don't want to enjoy the countryside. Do you think people don't really get a really stop and smell the flowers or smell the fresh air?
Yes, I think you got the point perfectly because Tuscany is centrally located in Italy, and maybe because this is also the reason because we have so many tourists. But because of also we don't have very good connections between all the points or all the main, you know, areas in Tuscany, they don't get to be visited. So they pass through Florence, they pass through Siena, they go to the Leaning Tower for a couple of hours, and sometimes they're visiting Chianti, the main areas of Chianti, but that's it. And this is just a shame, because just think about Maremma or even Chianti. If you go, for example, in San Guzmè, that is this little tiny village, very close to Siena, actually, from the balcony of a restaurant, you can see Siena, and it's almost 10 kilometers far from Siena, and it's gorgeous, and it's still the same Chianti as Greve. And it's much nicer. Or just think about if you go on the other side of the hill of the Chianti, you have the Val d'Elsa that is much as beautiful as Chianti, but nobody goes there.
Why?
Why?
Why is that?
I think because of too many books written about the same routes. And because when you come to Florence and you mean to Tuscany, you have just a few days. And of course, for the first time, you want to see, what everyone is talking about. So Florence, so Siena. But instead, why don't you stop in Florence? And instead of going, to the Academy Gallery, yes, of course, Michelangelo's death is amazing, it's stunning, but you can see a perfect copy in front of Palazzo Vecchio. Go inside Palazzo Vecchio and see it. Go to the Boboli Gardens, go to the Bardini Museum, for example. So go to the hidden gems that we have in Florence if you want to spend some time in Florence. Dan, if you're going to Chianti, instead of going to Greve in Chianti, just drive over there, maybe stop for a coffee, and then sleep in San Guzmè and go to Castelnuovo di Berardenga. They are as much beautiful as Greve.
You know, we stayed in Chianti our last time there. We stayed in Castellina and then spent some time in Penzano, and we really liked those areas. Are those still tourist areas? Did we not see enough when we were there? And we were there for what, 2 weeks, Pat?
Roughly 2 weeks.
Yeah. So, I mean,
Did you go to Vertini, for example? Did you
no,
go to
no, because we
Vertini?
didn't know you and
So,
we didn't know these
yeah,
places existed.
so. Yeah, also this is also another problem that we have a lot of things written also in Italian. Not so many of the beaten path tourist guides in English, except for the one of those that are loving our country, and so they write about it, but only what they like. So Vertine is this tiny hamlet, something like 10 people live there. And it's a medieval hamlet. You have only one coffee shop, and you can walk around in a couple of hours. You've seen everything, but you really enjoy what to live in Chianti is. So vineyards on the over the landscape, and quite a relaxing life, a dolce vita. That's what I like about, Tuscany. That when you are outside of the crowds, you can really see how my life is. Slow, people are smiling, people are relaxed, and I love it.
So, Valentina, I want you to kind of be our tour guide for a minute. Assume that we're going to be there for a couple of weeks. Is there a particular region we like now to stay in one spot and immerse ourselves in that area and then start exploring? Is there one portion of Tuscany you would say stay there, and then if you could give our listeners a couple of a day trips that they might want to go exploring to these more hidden locations?
Wow, there are so many. Let's start with my favorite, okay? My favorite, probably one of my favorite areas in Tuscany is definitely Maremma, because it's a tiny Tuscany, because over there you have everything. You have the mountains with the Amiata, you have the beautiful seaside on the coast from Grosseto down to Lazio. And then you have also the Silver Coast that is Argentario, where you have the beautiful crystal sea like in Sardinia. And then you have art, because you have, for example, Grosseto, you have Montemerano, then you have natural thermal springs in Saturnia, or you have tiny medieval hamlets like Rocchette di Fazio. So you have everything in one area that is very large. You have also good wine and good food, because in Maremma you have the Morellino di Scalzano, that is as much good as the Chianti. So I would say definitely go to Maremma, go to a central part, like for example, you go if you want to enjoy more the sea, you have to go near Grosseto. If you want to enjoy more the interland, so go somewhere like Montemerano, for example, that I love because the city center is a heart shape. If you look at it from an helicopter, for example, you will see that the city center is an art.
Is there any region like Tuscany in Italy, or and what I mean, there's so many different landscapes that you have the mountains, you have the seaside, you have the rolling hills. Is Tuscany unique that way in Italy? Because I'm going to be honest, Pat and I have only we've only been to Tuscany. We've gone to Rome a couple times, but that wasn't we preferred to be in Tuscany. Are there any other regions that are as vast of landscapes that Tuscany has to offer?
Yeah, I would say Puglia, for example. Puglia is that does not have the rolling hills, but still has mountains, has the sea, has the flats. So I would say Puglia would definitely, meet your expectations about landscapes, especially the Gargano area and also the southern towards Lecce. I don't know if you know that Lecce is called the southern Florence because of its beautiful architecture.
Interesting. You know, when we've gone there, and people ask us all the time, what do we recommend? And we've rented a car every time we've gone there. Would you recommend, especially for these remote places that you want to go, or that you are recommending, that you rent a car? And driving in Italy is easy. It's not hard if you're an American. You drive on the right side of the road. If you get yourself a Garmin, it's pretty easy to plug everything in and drive around. Now, Pat will get lost, but and he can't drive. And
Well, we will have fun doing
and he can't drive a stick. And so, A, you need to know how to drive a stick, and B, just get the Garmin. Or can you take a bus to these areas? Can you take a train to some of these areas?
Unfortunately not. We have big issues with transportations. So I mean it's going to be a nightmare holidays if you're traveling only by train or by buses. So I would definitely suggest you need a car. You need to drive.
Now, is that a son or a daughter you have?
Yeah, that's my story. That's my little son.
What's his name?
Eduardo.
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 So
Yes,
he wants to be on a podcast. He's a future podcaster. I like this kid already. How old
Thank
is
you.
he?
He's 3 and 2 months.
That's
Oh,
great.
wow.
That's
See,
great.
now he's living the great life because he gets to grow up in Tuscany, much like you grew up in Tuscany. You know, we were talking before we started that you went and did some work in New York City. You also worked in London. So you've been around. What brought you back to Tuscany? What made you want to go home?
Probably the quality of life that I have here, and I really miss the landscapes. I really miss the nature, environment that we have here. I loved to, living in New York and living in London was great, was amazing. And there are some points in my life when I wanted to go back, because especially when I think about, business, economics, and everything, I really think, okay, I have to leave Italy. But then the quality that I have here, of the quality of my life, is so high that I would never find anywhere else.
There's an intersection there, isn't there, between the environment, but also the architecture and the history. Have you found that anywhere else beside Tuscany?
Let me think, because not so strictly related. Because, for example, another place that I really love is Ireland, but there you have just the natural environment. You don't have the history that I love, okay? The heart that I love. They also, of course, have a strong historical past, but it's not the one that I love because I'm used to Florence. And it's really hard to find somewhere else, another Florence.
How did Too Much Tuscany come to fruition for you? When did you say, you know what, I have to write these stories down, I have to document this and write about these hidden gems?
So in my mind, it started a long time ago, about when I was in my 20s, because I took a special degree in unconventional tourism, let's say. And then I worked for, several people's writing stories about, general Tuscany. Then I lost my job because of my pregnancy. And so I said, okay, that's the time to write to match Tuscany. I want to do something for myself and for my son and for who loves Tuscany like me. And this is how to match Tuscany came.
So how much do you still travel around Tuscany? What's an average week for you? I mean, you had a post on April 2nd, you had a post on the 28th, you had a post on the 19th. How much are you traveling yourself to write these fantastic articles on TooMuchTuscany.com?
Actually, I never stop because I travel also my area every week. For example, 3 weeks ago, I was about 20 minutes driving from my home to discover this lovely village that is called Sant'Agata, that used to be a very important place on the way to Rome. Now it's not so populated, but I drove through one day and I saw these beautiful doors over there. So I said, okay, I have to go back. I came back on a Saturday afternoon, just taking pictures, visiting a very nice museum that is called the Leporino Museum. That is the nickname of this old man. He's actually in his 80s, and he built Sant'Agata during the 30s, 1930, when he was a child. So you can see action figures made out of papier-mâché and wood that are just picturing the life in the village of Sant'Agata during the 30s. And I love that. So last weekend I was in Val d'Orcia, for example, to discover Lucignano d'Asso and Montisi. And next weekend I would be along the Etruscan coast, so the seaside. Then I would be in Val d'Elsa to discover Montaione. So I'll never stop because there are so many places that I don't know.
You know, you're driving Pat and myself and probably every one of our listeners crazy because you live the life we all want to live.
We're living vicariously right now.
Thank you.
Well, it's funny because we started TotalTuscany.com because, we know we're going back. We're like, well, let's start this. And then you realize, well, we're not there enough to write. So then we're like, let's do a podcast. That way we can live vicariously through people who are there a lot more than we are and there. And so just to let you know, we're extremely jealous of you. Just so you know that.
Yes, sometimes I also jealous of myself. I envy myself as well because I, change a little bit my mind and I started to enjoy so much my life here, my slow life. Because when I was in New York and I came back to Tuscany, I was crazy. I said, no, I have to leave. And then, the sun came, I changed my job, I changed my schedules, and now just to make you more envious about me, every now that the boat season is starting, we are going almost two or three times per week having a picnic on the lake.
Okay, I don't like you. I don't like you now.
I know, I know. I love this.
Well,
yes.
It's funny because you do what you're supposed to do, and I'm thinking I live in a town of, it's modestly populated, but there are tourist areas that I've lived here all my life that I've never even gone to see. I know people come from out of town from where I live to go see places, and I ignore them. I go, I've never even been there. See, you're the smart one that says, I'm going to take this all in. Even though I live here, I'm still going to do them. I think that's
admirable.
That's it. It is. You appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you. I love it. I love Tuscany, and I love to know almost everything about it. I don't want to know people. I want to know why we enjoy this life, and I can get the taste of it, because I'm the one that is first happy to be here.
Valentina, I don't think we're imagining that life does slow down there. That's been our experience. Now, we've been on vacation, but each time we talk to somebody, they've experienced something similar. Why do you think that is?
Because I think that's most the Italian way to take life. We know how to take life easy. I mean, we have also a bad reputation for this, because I'm not kidding when I say you go to the post office and you spend over there 40 minutes because, you know, the nonna in front of you wants to talk to the worker there. So you have also to be patient. And I'm not kidding when I say you can find, you know, the bar at the corner closed because it's going fishing. Mm-hmm. That's Italy, but that also, you know, the Dolce Vita here, and if I can take it slow, also the bar owner can take it slow. And you have just to balance the bad and the good side of it.
Too Much Tuscany is the website. It's very well laid out. These stories are easy to navigate through. If people have questions for you, if they want advice, are you accessible to your readers? Do you give them advice? Do you communicate with them?
Of course, I would love to. And last year, I planned the honeymoon for an American guy. We planned together the 2 weeks in Tuscany. I organized for him dinners and everything just for fun, because it was so nice with me. And so just write me and I will answer to all your questions. I would love to give you suggestions about what I like and what you can see in Tuscany.
Well, you have two people that are planning to contact you. When we go back,
we're going to hang with you. That's what we're going
to
do.
Of course. I would love to have a coffee with you and to, you know, go and take a picture to wherever. I would love to meet you guys. So where are you coming? I'm waiting for you.
That's the big question. I want to go in the fall, and Pat's shaking his head going, we can't go until April of next year. And I'm like, that's just too long. And because we're on a 2-year cycle, we try to go every 2 years. And are you ready for this? He skipped out on me last year. So he skipped out on me. It was just my wife and I, which was nice. But, you know, Pat just he bolted on me last year. I was disappointed in him.
Bad guy.
But I regret not going.
you have to. You didn't come to Tuscany, so you have to.
You bring up a good point, because when are we coming? When should we come? Because we've kind of figured out, we're budget type guys, right? We want to make sure that we're not spending a lot of money, because we want to enjoy our time there, but also enjoy the most time possible. And we found that right before peak season, we can still get off-season prices in the spring. So we get to stay longer.
We've
always loved the spring, but we've never got to experience a Tuscan summer. We've never got to experience a Tuscan fall, or we've actually heard great things about a Tuscan winter.
It depends from the areas where you're going. So, for example, I would say that Florence in August can be perfect, because you have low season rates in hotels, because we are going to the seaside. So you will have high rates the seaside and low rates in the cities. But then it's the opposite. If you're going to the seaside during fall, for example, or early spring, you're having very good rates, while Florence is going to be very expensive. So it depends where you want to go, and the area will have the good price depending on the season. So I love fall and spring as season to travel. November generally is a bit too rainy for me, as well as February, but March is very good, as well as October.
Now, you write about the hidden gems, the great things of Tuscany, and I have to ask you this, because what is the most overrated thing you see in Tuscany? What should people maybe avoid that they think is a must see?
Do you really want to know that?
Yeah, I do. I do.
Bulgari, for example. Do you know Bulgari?
Yes.
Bulgari. I really think it's overrated. There is next door, there is Casale Marittimo or Suvereto or Castagneta Carducci. They are much, much better than Bulgari and less expensive.
Bulgari is the place to avoid. Remember that. So write that down. Right, everybody listening, write that down. You don't have to go there. It's overrated because Valentina said it's overrated.
No, I also wrote that. It's a nice town, but it's overrated. I mean, yes, go there, take a picture, and then go somewhere else. There are so many places that are worth to visit that you don't need to spend so much time in Bulgari. They have the wine. That's it.
And you can slap me if I'm incorrect here, and because we've gone there every time we've gone. But you know, I mean, Florence is a big city, and Florence is Florence. And I like San Gimignano, but I find it very touristy. I find it maybe a little bit overrated in a tourist trap.
I totally agree with you. And instead of going to San Gimignano, go the opposite side, that it's about 12 kilometers, and visit Certaldo.
We love Certaldo.
Okay, we are on the same page. Good.
We are so in love with Certaldo, and it actually started. I told the story on one of our earlier podcasts. In that the first one of our first days in Italy, the first time we went, we had our entire family. Pat's got 3 children. I've got 4 children. We had other guests. Wow. But we go to Certaldo to the train station in the morning, and there's nobody there. And we can't read or speak a word of Italian. And how you get your tickets is in Italian. We had no idea what we were doing. So we just bought tickets. We lost part of our party on the train station, and we took off and went to Florence. But since then, we've just kind of adopted that town, that village, as a place that we have to visit all the time. We love it.
I know. But, and this is very, you know, a very real place, because I don't know if you notice it, but in the doors, you can see the keys locked in. This means that people are, you know, confident enough with visitors to leave their keys in the doors. It's a very common practice in small towns when you don't have tourists, when you know everyone knows each other. But still, there you can see it, and it's not so common right now in, you know, in the 21st century. And I love it because it means that they are open to you, they want to talk to you, they want to see you and have a nice, you know, and they have a smile for you. That's what I like about Certaldo and, you know, about these places when they are off the beaten path. People are ready to talk to you and to say hi. While in Florence, it doesn't happen anymore. And I'm really, really upset about it because I worked in the past at the tourist information office, and I see how they treat tourists, and I don't like it. I really don't like it because they don't deserve it, and we actually need it, let's say.
Mm-hmm. Valentina, we love it. We love to eat. Is there a favorite restaurant that you would, a couple of favorite restaurants you could give our listeners some suggestions?
Okay. So one is in Florence, I have to say that, but I love it. Even if it's a tourist place, it's called I Quattro Leoni. I don't know if you know that. It's in the small piazza between Santo Spirito and Palazzo Pitti called Piazza della Passera. And they have gorgeous food, really gorgeous food. Over there you have to, I love the kind of tortellini filled with pear and cheese. And then they have one of the greatest pepposo I've ever had in my life. So I really love it. Another good restaurant, let me think. In Florence surroundings, you can have a very good Fiorentina steak at Bella Ciao. That is about, let's say, 15 kilometers far from Florence on the countryside next to the Romanesque church of Giogoli. And they are also specialized in trippa and lampredotto. So they're very good.
We are so hungry right now.
Before we let you go, has tourism been up or down? I check flights from where I live every single day, and it's still, for me to fly round trip is, you know, $1,300, maybe $1,400 American dollars. That's a little bit out of my price range right now. Has tourism been up or down, have you seen?
I mean, the Italian one, it's down. Strangers, especially we had Europeans that are traveling mm-hmm. a lot to Italy. Not so many Americans, but we are doing good. So Let's say it's okay.
Valentina, a great conversation. I think one we could probably continue for another hour or so. I tell you what, let's schedule and have you back in maybe, you know, 6 months or so. We'll have another conversation, catch up with you and see what's going on. All right.
Of course, I would love to. And write me. I would love to answer your questions.
Excellent. Valentina, thank you so much. And
thank you, Travis and Pat.
Thank you very much.
Arrivederci.
Ciao. Buonanotte.
Pat, I really like Valentina's style here in that there are so many places in Tuscany that people have never seen. And we've been on the tiny roads and we've seen small villages, but we've never taken the time to stop and visit. And she's motivated me the next time, say, you know, don't get to my next destination because that's where the guidebook tells me to do. Go ahead and turn into one of these villages and see what it has to offer.
Exactly. I mean, how many times have we talked about when driving to one location or the other, we pass by a vineyard or a little shop, a little wine shop that I think would be wonderful to sit and explore. She gets that opportunity all the time.
Were you fascinated by the fact that she said 80% of Tuscany is probably unexplored by the average tourist like you and me?
I would never have expected that, really. That's an awful lot of space. And, you know, there's so many people going to Tuscany. But then again, when we're in the cities, when we're in Florence, when we're in Siena, we see that. But what I think has impressed me each time we've traveled is that when we're in the back roads, we just don't run into a lot of people.
And that's why our advice, and we'll have much more on this coming up in the near future, is that when you go to Tuscany, don't let it be a 2 or 3 day stop. Don't say, well, we're just going to go to Siena, we're going to go to Florence, and we might hit San Gimignano. There is so much to explore. There's so much to see. In fact, so much that it needs a week or 2 weeks of your time. And we're going to help you along with that process as this podcast starts to evolve, as our website starts to evolve at TotalTuscany.com. So make sure to keep listening for that because we'll have lots of great advice, lots of good pointers to be able to help you out as you plan your Tuscan holiday. Again, please subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and also put us in your circles on Google+. What do you think, Pat? Nice, good interview today, wasn't it?
A lot of fun, and I want to thank Valentina again. She's a wonderful person to talk to.
And she knows Tuscany. TooMuchTuscany.com is her website. Make sure to check it out today. For Pat Campagna, I'm Travis Justice. Make sure to enjoy the week and do your best to live Tuscany.